Blog Talk Radio.
About my music and life and all kinds of things, so pleasure is all mine.
Exactly. And before we start things today, I just found out something about that song we just played.
Yeah, what was that?
That song dropped on iTunes on my parents' anniversary.
Oh, what do you know? That's awesome. Cool
yeah,
coincidence.
You know, I was, I had, I bought the thing on iTunes. I didn't pay attention, much to the date. And I went back and looked and I was like, well, that's kind of cool.
That is awesome. You'll have to wish them a happy anniversary for me. And since they're together, they would probably love my other song, Better Me for Me, which is about love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's always a good thing when you can stay together and help each other grow.
Speaking of Better Me for Me, I heard that song on your SoundCloud page, and oh, my God. That is just... an incredible song. That's an incredible song.
Thank you. Yeah. I never set out to write a love song. It just kind of
mm-hmm.
happened. I was talking
mm-hmm.
about when I was writing the lyrics, I usually start with lyrics, and I was writing about my growth over the years, kind of what I've gone through in terms of personal
mm-hmm.
development and just getting to know myself better. And then I was kind of circling back to kind of what was the catalyst for all that, and it was my husband, that when we got together, he just really asked the tough questions and dug deep so that not only he could get to know me, but that I could better understand myself. He's super analytical
yeah.
and just a really cool thinker. So he kind of opened up that can of worms for me to delve deeper, and I was like, oh, crap, here comes a love song. So it just kind of happened.
Oh, crap. Right, but while I was on your SoundCloud page, I'm a sucker for I'm a big sports fan, and I'm always interested to see how the national anthem is going to be, what arrangement the national
yeah,
anthem is going to be.
A tough one.
A singing or whatever. And your a cappella national anthem just blew me away.
Oh, nice. Thank you. Yeah, I made it. I recorded that, like, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago now at this point, because I wanted to sing it at a Padres game because I'm originally from San
right.
Diego. But mm-hmm. I never submitted it. I don't know why. I was just thinking mm-hmm. about it today because I came across the email with the submission information. So I got to get on that because that's a dream of mine, is to sing the national anthem at a major sporting event. I just think that would be awesome.
You know, I know you're biased, but San Diego is a great city, isn't it?
Yeah, it is great. I actually just moved from there 2 months ago to Austin, Texas, which is the live music capital of the world. So I'm excited to see
mm-hmm.
what Austin has to offer and how it differs.
Nice. Now, I've been to both San Diego and I've driven through I've kind of bypassed Austin on the interstate because I have a dream of seeing all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums by the time I'm 30 myself. So
oh,
I've
nice.
Done a bunch of traveling these past 3 or 4 years. And both cities are just incredible.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree. I love them both mm-hmm. for different reasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
very cool. For me, Austin, Texas is like a quintessential southern city.
Yes, it is very southern. I've never eaten so much barbecue and potato salad and baked beans in my life. If I have one more meal, including those items, I'm going to freak out. But when we first got here, it was kind of a free-for-all, and we just tried all that stuff. But we're calming down,
mm-hmm.
got to get back into the groove of things and healthy eating and all that. But, yeah, the food here is awesome, and they
it
just
is.
Have so many really neat little boutique kind of food truck deals with
mm-hmm.
food that you just can't find anywhere. So, yeah, definitely a lot of great options in regards to that.
You know, and if there's if I can pinpoint one thing I love about the South, because I'm Southern born and raised. I was born and raised in Tennessee, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But has to be the food.
Amen.
Yeah.
It got to
be
the food.
A little too good. You want to eat it all.
The time to end it.
I'll tell you one thing that I am not liking in Austin so far, and it's the bugs. I've never seen so many different species of just crazy bugs, and I've been attacked by all of them. So I'm just like stocking up on bug spray and the calamine lotion and all that stuff. It's just crazy out here. Not San Diego flip-flop kind of deal.
Yeah. The bugs that I have to say, bugs in the South are not your typical bugs. I've got to say that much right now.
No, they're huge. They could literally walk off on like on themselves.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Literally.
Let me.
I will pick you up and walk off with you.
There you go. I cannot talk. I'm sorry. I'm a mess.
It's okay. Yeah, when I first got I was a little prissy about it all, and I would freak out every time something would buzz around me, and now it's just like, oh, whatever. Hey, wasp, I see you. Don't touch me.
Oh,
no one touch you.
Red wasps freak me out. Like, no. Not okay. Not come near me. They freak me out so much. Like, my pride and joy is killing one. Like, with wasps. like, not a traditional death. Like, I want it to suffer from the chemicals that I spray on it. Which sounds terrible.
I've grown to love them out here because they keep everything in order. I saw one dragging this huge spider away the other day, and I was like, okay. And then I saw a spider, like, eating some other big bug, and then I saw a frog, like, eating some other thing, and, like, it's just a circle of life over here. So I'm like, okay, you guys do your thing. Keep everybody in check. Just stay away from me.
Well, in the last season, I lived in Nashville, and then I just moved back to Alabama, but I lived in Nashville for a year. And in our last house, we had wasps terribly, and, like, this one got in my room and got on, like, the edge of, like, where you pull the drawer out, and I couldn't see it, and I, like, had the drawer pulled out and was leaned up against it going through it looking for something to wear. This was, like, at 6:30 in the morning before school, and I felt something stinging me, and I didn't know what it was, and a wasp was, like, stinging me on the hip, and it was so painful, and it scared me because I didn't know what it was. And I freaked out, and then I was like, I've never been stung by a wasp. What if I'm allergic to it? So
yikes.
I survived. But, yeah, that's short people problems for you when you lean up against the
here.
And that's what happened. But I was freaking out over that. And then I went to school, but then they sent me home from school because I told them what happened to me, and I didn't know if I was allergic, and they didn't want to deal with that, so they sent me home.
Well.
Good time.
I did have a few kind of fun kind of get to know you type questions if you're up for it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. Before we get into that though, tell everybody how you got into the. A music business thing. Tell everybody how that happened.
Well, I was kind of born into it. I was kind of thinking about that too. You know, as you're building your brand, you start, you know, writing your bio and doing all this stuff. And I was trying to put together when exactly I got started. And I was like, when did I get started? I was going through pictures and seeing how far back I could trace stuff. And there's video of me at 2 years old singing and dancing to Tina Turner through a karaoke machine and, like, song after song of me just putting on a show for everybody, like, barely being able to walk, but I can shake my butt and sing. So as far back as 2, I would say, is when I get started. Even, I guess, before that, because my dad is a major rock star, and so he was playing music, I'm sure, when I was even in the belly, so... he always had a music room set up with tons of instruments and always encouraged us to play an instrument or sing or do anything like that. And my sister is a singer as well, not professional. She just does it for fun, and she can pick up lots of instruments too. So we kind of had the family jam thing going on ever since I can remember. My dad's a world traveler, and I move around a lot as well. So we've never been able to be in a band together, except for recently we just did our first showcase together, which was super exciting. But other than that, I've kind of just carved my own way. I'm the first one to do original music and kind of go for it full gusto. My dad is a full-time brilliant scientist and a rock star at night, and I'm trying to be full-time musician and singer-songwriter and kind of dabble in lots of different things. I have lots of interests, but music is definitely my main focus, and yeah, I've been doing it for a very long time.
Awesome.
You
know, and that kind of brings up another question of mine. Do you have any pre-show rituals you do, like a prayer or anything before a show?
I don't. I probably should. I kind of just, I try to actually not think so much. I try to clear my mind, and you know, because before you go on, there's so much going on. It's like, oh my God, what if this happens, or what if that happens, or did I do this, or I forgot that, or is my guitar player going to be on time? And you can go through all that stuff and just psych yourself out. So I try to just be calm and clear my head and just be at peace and happy. And sometimes I'll take a shot. No prayers, but kind of my prayers are a little different. I do more, I would say, like meditation or kind of giving thanks or gratitude. Yeah, so I guess you could call it prayers. More clearing the mind, giving gratitude, you know, high-fiving my group or whatever, and just being at peace before I go on.
I'm going to tell this story. Since you brought up stuff about psyching yourself out. Sam knows it's coming, don't you, ma'am?
Yep.
Maybe.
Sam knows it's coming.
I've heard the story so many times that it doesn't even amuse me anymore. Like, I just sit here and wait for the dull roar of the story to end now.
Hey, now. Hey, now. Anyway.
I love you. I'm just
Me and him are both singers ourselves. Nothing professionally or whatever, you know, we were singing together at this little place just south of Nashville. I had previously asked him to sing Randy Travis's I Told You So with me. So we're up there. She takes the first verse. Does brilliantly. I mean, absolutely brilliant with that first verse. It gets me with the second verse. I'm okay for about 10 seconds. I'm fine. After that, I just draw a blank. I'm going, oh God, what are the words? Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You know? And I'm just totally drawing a blank up there. So
that's awful. So what happened?
Sam looks at me like,
did you figure it out?
Oh, I eventually figured it out, but not before Sam shot me a look like, I'm going to kill you, Murph.
Literally, he was going to kill you.
That's awful. That's happened to me, too. Like, so many stories like that. That actually builds your character. The more you can kind of just roll with the punches at a live show. I've sang the same verse twice by accident. I've missed a verse entirely and cut straight to the chorus. I mean, that's the beauty of playing with a live band, that they can just kind of follow along. But yeah, if it's a track, then it's like, oh God, backtrack, recover.
That's happened to me. I was at the same place that he's talking about in this little club, and it was like the first time I'd ever been there, so of course I was like freaking out because I didn't know the band or anything, and I was singing Harper Valley PTA, and I started into the part where she's like, you know, describing all the characters basically, and I totally screwed it up and I sang it totally backwards, and I was like, well, I can't sing the part that goes there when I get to the next verse, because then it won't rhyme with what starts in the chorus. It won't work. So I sang the same thing twice, like the same set of lines, because I couldn't like switch them, like interchange them, because it wouldn't have worked. So I just sang it twice, and I was like, well, maybe they didn't notice, but
yeah, you'd be surprised. A lot of times people don't. They're too busy either having fun or enjoying the performance. They don't really notice. But
well,
that's hilarious.
We had a singer. I had a singer up there with me. She was singing backup for me, and she has actually done our show, her band. But she just looked at. I just looked at her, and she was like, "What are you looking at me for? Like, just keep singing, basically." And we just looked at each other, and we figured it out. And she pretended like it went that way, and kept singing backup, and just caught up. Like it wasn't even like she was confused. So she really like saved my butt.
That's awesome. It's always nice to have a good team around you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then, like, after, I feel like once you screw up together with a band, once you become best friends, like, we've all screwed up together.
Oh, yeah.
So we're close now.
Yeah.
Another question I had for you, I have to ask this question because if I don't, a friend of mine will kill me. Because she, I came up with this question, she came up with it. So I ask this with every interview I do. So, if you could go back and change one thing about your career, would you, and what would it be?
Oh, man. Go back and change one thing about my career. It's so tough to answer that one, because the first thing that pops into my head is I would say I would start earlier. My sister encouraged me to, you know, hit the recording studio and do all this stuff way early on when I was like, I don't know, 16 or 17. And she offered to help fund it and all this stuff. But I don't know, I was just in a different place at that point and I didn't do it. And I finally decided to take things seriously way later, like at, I'm 32 now. So probably around like 26 or so, I finally started, you know, getting my website up and like doing all this stuff. But I feel like I'm kind of glad that it happened later, because I would look back at the songs I was writing when I was an adolescent and they were just not good. Like, not just the melodies or anything, because you can always get help with that, but just the lyrical content. Like, I would just talk about silly things, or I don't know. I mean, maybe that would have been part of my evolution, but I'm kind of glad that I'm just now getting introduced to iTunes and the public with the content that I have, because it took me a long time to kind of procure that and become the person that I am to be able to write the lyrics that I do and release the messages that I want. So I don't know. I mean, maybe get started earlier, but then again, maybe not. But that's the only one that I can really think of.
You know, I got to tell you, you sound younger than what you are.
Yeah,
everyone says that. Everybody says I look and everyone says I look and sound younger.
Well,
so I'll take it.
Because I'm sitting here talking to you, so why not stalk you on Twitter? And you definitely don't look 32, so, which is good, because I get that a lot too. Like, people don't think I look as old as I am. They think my sister, who is 15, is older than me, which really grates on my nerves. But I think that when I'm 50, I'm going to look fantastic. So just hold on to that. Just remember,
exactly.
You may not look your age now, but that's good when you get old. And, well, 50's not old, but when you get old, like 70.
Yeah.
You won't look that old.
Yeah, I used to freak out about age a lot, especially first getting into it, because I started so late and everyone around me is so much younger. But I don't know, I feel like I just said, I'm kind of glad that I did. And I don't know, I feel like I have a different place in the market now. You know, I'm not among all the teeny boppers doing their thing. I'm kind of doing my own thing over here at the ripe old age of 32.
That's awesome. Me and him kind of interchange this question a lot, but if you could do a duet with anybody, a living or dead, who would it be and why?
Oh, my gosh, it's so hard because I have so many.
Cody's leaving me with no questions to ask. Like, he's taking all my questions.
I'd say, like, a teenage me would probably go with Mariah Carey. Early 20s me would probably do Christina Aguilera because I was obsessed with her.
I love her.
I'd say nowadays I love Jessie J. Like, she's just so ridiculous. Her voice is crazy. So, I don't know. Any one of those. I mean, if I had to pick one, okay, let me just pick one. I'd say Mariah Carey just because it's Mariah Carey. She's a diva, you know. She's been around forever.
I love her. I love Jessie J, too. But, I mean, I love all of the ones you mentioned. So
yeah, those are my top.
Christina Aguilera is just like there's no competition with Christina Aguilera. I feel like she's in a world of her own.
There's none.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, and they all have their own unique little things that they do, which I like.
Right.
Yeah. Since I'm pretty much taking all of your questions, Em, you take the TV and music question.
Okay, thank you for leaving me one. Okay, we'll start with TV. What are you currently, like, watching / what's on your DVR? You know, that stuff.
I don't do a ton of TV. I do binge watch on occasion. And I just finished Orange is the New Black, the latest season. But other than that, I don't really watch TV. I did Game of Thrones. I watched for a while, and that was about it.
I watched Game of Thrones until some guy on there, like, stabbed somebody's eyes out, and then I was like, okay, I'm done with this.
Yeah, it is kind of, like, grotesque, and even Orange is the New Black this season was just getting kind of raunch, and I was like, well, I don't know if I want to be watching this anymore. I could be filling my head with so many more worthwhile things.
Amen, yes.
Well, that's kind of what I tried to do.
You can be watching, like, Game of Thrones, and, like, there's characters in, like, in the foreground, and you're watching them, and they're just having a conversation, and in the background, there's random characters just going at it. Like, I don't understand why they're doing it in public. They are.
Yeah.
Me. Like, was that how it was back then? Because they say that people these days are, like, put too much out there, but clearly people back then did it too.
That's not the case, clearly.
Well, and then I watched the first season of Orange is the New Black, and I never got super into it like everyone else. Like, I watched it, but it just didn't do it for me. And I just don't get why everybody loves it. Like, I watched it, but it just really didn't, like, get me excited.
Yeah.
I tried.
This may be my last question before we get more into your music and current projects, but what is the best advice you've ever been given, whether it's in your personal life or a professional life? What's the best advice you've been given?
To be authentic in everything that I do. Should I pause? Keep going.
It's the house phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, just to be authentic in everything I'm doing, and kind of what helped me do that was that I wrote a mission statement for my life. You know, what is my purpose? What am I trying to accomplish while I'm here on this earth? And then everything I'm doing, just compare it back to that. And does it help me get closer to my mission statement? Is it in alignment or is it not? And if it's not, then drop it. If it is, then go for it. And it helps you to just be true to yourself in all your endeavors. And that just makes life so much more happy, enjoyable, easy. So, yeah, just to be authentic to myself.
I like that.
Awesome. Switching gears a little bit to
Wait, we didn't talk about other music first. We got to do that, then we'll talk about your music. So, who are your favorites who are you listening to? And then, like, who are some of your all-time favorites? I know we talked about Mariah and Jessie J and Christina, but who else?
Yeah, I'd say on the diva side, definitely those. Growing up in a classic rock family, I'm a huge fan of Led Zeppelin and Journey and Queen and the Beatles.
That is, like, my favorite station is, well, I'm in Birmingham, of course, but my favorite station is the Eagle classic rock. Like,
yes.
The best.
Yes. I love all that stuff. My mom's Latin. She was born in Colombia, so I grew up on a lot of Hispanic stuff too. So I love like Juanes and Marc Anthony and Celia Cruz, Selena, all that stuff. Shakira.
I will tell you this about me, but my music tastes range from, oh my God, you need to hear this, to, I know, please don't judge me.
Amen. Amen. She listens to some of the stuff, and I'm like, Cody, where did you drag that out of? Like, I said,
oh, yeah, totally guilty. I used to be obsessed with that song, Mbop, by...
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I don't even remember. So cheesy. And the Spice Girls. Yeah, totally guilty.
You know, one day I'll be a full country, like I'll be Jason Aldean, Sam Hunt, you know, and then next day I'll probably switch and be all Eminem, or all
My radio the classic rock one, Nash Icon, and the hit station 103.7 or whatever it is. Those are my presets, and like I literally will just hit the button and switch between the three of them to find something I want to listen to. And then when that song ends, I switch again. Like, I'm so everywhere.
Nice.
You know, iTunes has become my best friend at this point.
I never started using it until I started getting into releasing my own music, and then had a lot of friends who were releasing their own EPs and singles. And so to show love, I would go on there and buy their stuff. But that was the first time I ever used it. I would always just – I never really listened to radio, which is kind of crazy. I drive in silence a lot, or I'll be, like, creating songs on the road because, you know, just long drives are nice for that kind of thing. But I'll do Pandora and stuff like that. But, yeah, I never really used iTunes until I started buying my friends' stuff.
Awesome. You know, I did find another question buried down here in my list of stuff. How has social media help you as an artist grow your fan base in your career?
Oh my gosh, it's been huge, so pivotal for me. Starting with YouTube, that was a big one. I'm not as active on there as I am now on, say, like Instagram and Twitter. I was super active for a while. Now it's kind of died down a little. I'm more so on Instagram a lot, but it's crazy. Like, to be able to reach people I never would have been able to reach before. I have fans from like Bulgaria and Ireland sending in videos of them singing my songs, and it's crazy to be able to reach someone that far just off of, you know, Twitter. I'll just and I'll use it, like, with hashtags and stuff. So I'll look up different hashtags, like Dare to Dream, and see what these people are talking about and be like, hey, that's really cool or whatever. And then they'll come over to my stuff and see I just released a song called Dare to Dream. Then they'll go listen to it, and then they'll like it. And so it's definitely a two-way road. I think a lot of people can use it in a spammy way, and they won't get the greatest results. But if you use it like a human and just interact with people and go check out their stuff and go listen to their music and retweet their stuff and, you know, just create kind of an online friendship out of it, then it totally works and helps. I am so grateful for social media, for sure.
My favorite quote is, you like a human. I like that. Like a normal human. That is so great.
I had on the show. That's probably the best quote we've ever had.
We have so many good ones, and I always say I'm going to write them down and, like, put them on T-shirts so people can order them, and I always forget. Like, I'm about to – we need to open up a T-shirt shop online and, like, listen to all our old shows and think of funny stuff that people have said and put them on shirts.
Yeah.
Like, if you use Twitter like a normal person or a normal human.
Like a normal human.
Well, Cody said the other day – he said the other day that Nashville calories don't count. Like, if you're in Nashville and you're eating, it doesn't count. And I was like, we need that on the kit, too.
That's awesome. I like that.
Oh, wow. Switching gears here a second to your music. I know you just recently released I Dare You to Dream as a single about 4 or 5 months ago. Is there Anything else you're working on, like a full EP, a full album, anything you're working on right now?
I don't have a full EP that I'm releasing as a package. I have more songs that I'm releasing. Better Me For Me was 5-6 months ago. I Dare to Dream was a month or two ago. And then I'm about to start working on, the song's already done. I just need to work on a video and get all that together. I'd love to have it released in 3 months or so, because I just hate dragging it out so much, and I become such a perfectionist that I just slow down the whole train, and then nothing comes out. So hopefully within the next 3 months, my next one will be out. And then the final two, I might just package them all together and put it on one CD or something, because I made 5 songs all together, and I'm exploring on all of them, and they all sound so different that I didn't want to put them all together as like one EP kind of thing. I just wanted to release them one at a time and test the waters and be able to give each one a focus so they don't get lost in the shuffle. But I'm working on new music aside from those that has a different flavor. I was just starting out when I released that stuff, and I love it to death. But I'm already feeling like I want to shift gears into more like bluesy rock kind of sounds. My first set of songs I feel are more contemporary, more like on the pop side, which is great. I love pop. But yeah, I want to get some more flavor in these next ones. The next one I'm releasing, though, is called Write Your Story, and it's kind of a bluesy feel, which I really like. But yeah, you guys will hear that hopefully in 3 to 4 months.
You know, I'm a big fan of kind of a bluesy kind of a genre, the entire genre. So I'm looking forward to that, really.
Yeah, me too. And I do that so much with my dad and music and all that, that I don't know. I'm ready to try something new.
You know, I tell you what is the greatest thing ever. Now I'm just learning guitar. I've been playing for about the last 6 or 7 months. Impromptu jam sessions are the absolute best.
Amen.
Yes, they are.
Because I can play guitar, so I always call my uncle and I'm like, hey, come to my house. I'm just like, play for a while. And
game with me. Right, exactly.
Because I don't play guitar. I don't think that for me to sing it's necessary, because it's just not my thing. I like songs. So I'm like, I'll just sing and I'll hire a band.
Right. I'm totally on the same mindset. I try to learn stuff along the way, but I wear too many hats as a solo artist and business owner that learning an instrument just isn't in the cards for me. And I'm not a natural at it, so I don't want to force it. I'd rather stand and sing and interact in that way. And hire people who are great instrumentalists. And I find that it doesn't hinder the songgwriting process for me. So I'm good.
Yeah. One thing, you should hire other people that are great at other things to like become one big good thing together. Versus trying to do everything yourself and being okay at some things and really good at one thing. And I was talking to some friends of mine, like some other singers and some writers and a producer, and I was like, is it necessary for me to like know how to play guitar to do this? And they're like, no, you don't have to know how to play guitar just because it seems like everybody does. You don't have to do that. That's not going to like further your singing ability, that's not going to, like, matter when in the long run on who's going to want to listen to your music, who's going to want to see you, so it's not something you have to do.
Right. I totally agree.
So somebody's banging on the front door. I don't know who it is.
I think that's probably all I've got for you, unless Kim's got something else. But I wanted to thank you again for taking about 35 or 40 minutes out of your day to come on and chat with us.
Yeah, for sure. This was fun. I had a good time. Thanks for having me.
And now that I know you, I follow you back on Twitter.
nice. Thank you.
I got to thank you for all the support you've been showing me lately on Twitter. I got to thank you for that.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, be a normal human on Twitter and the world would be a better place.
Yeah. For real.
And I hope I'm not overstepping here, but I do consider you a dear friend.
Aw, thank you. You as well. I love all the social media family that I'm making over the interwebs. It's crazy how you don't even know a lot of these people, but you've formed such
right.
a kinship just via
it's
social
nuts.
Channels. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. You know, and again, if there's anything we can do for you through the show, social media, anything, don't ever hesitate to ask, okay?
Okay. You got it. Thank you so much.
I'm going to let you go, and I'll be talking to you later, okay?
Okay. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great night.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. That was fun, wasn't it, Em?
You have to do
I know I said that all the time, but...
It's 5:44. Announcements, go.
Yes, announcements. I'm working on something for the next week that I will text you about later.
Yeah,
and
I still don't know BTW.
I have to wait a couple of days for it. I just see if their schedules work for the day that and I'm wanting.
So I should know this.
Oh, you'll know, trust me. And the 20th is the show's a 3-year anniversary.
Cody, I swear
so
to you, if a soap star doesn't call me on the 20th, you're fired.
You can't fire me from my own show.
That's true.
You can't fire me from my own show.
All right, hurry. Is that all? Because it's like 5:45 on the dot. They're going to throw us out.
It's only 5:41 on my end, so.
Oh, my clock is 5:45. Oh, well, then we have a few minutes. Okay, cool. By the way, I said someone was banging on the front door. It was Grant. All is good. He has come and left. Anyway.
So, I think I'm going to let
wait
you go and I'll kind
of. You go what? Out. Cody goes out of town on the 31st or on the 30th. And Kathy is going to be my wing woman that week. I already texted her.
Yes, she is. I forgot about that. Thanks for reminding me.
You're welcome. We're so excited. I really want to book someone fun for that because I want to do, like, something super, like, different in September. Oh, we also forgot that the 13th we have Misty and Brandon.
Yes, Misty and Brandon on the 13th. I forgot about
that,
too.
And it's at a different time than normal. It's at 5:30, everyone. So,
yes,
make note of that.
Yes, it is.
But, yeah, we want to do – we're definitely looking to, like – shake things up in September. So tell us what you want to see because we're going to like totally change like gears for a minute just to like mix things up so things don't get super boring because you know how it is. That's like when you're brunette for 6 months, you decide you need to be blonde for a minute or not, but whatever.
And now I think I'm going to let you go because we've only got like 2 minutes. So.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our interview with the lovely and talented Miss Audrey Callahan. Let's see. I'm working on something for the 18th, like I said. Oh, Thursday the 13th at 5:30, actually. We have our friends Misty and Brandon from Common Ground Radio joining us. The 20th is our 3-year anniversary on the show, and I believe that's it. If anything else comes up, I will let you know. And I think I'm going to end the episode right here. You've been listening to Weekdays with Murph. Thank you, and goodbye.